Hello and welcome to another edition of the Moving Iron Podcast. This podcast is proudly provided by Axon, helping dealers move more iron for almost 100 years. Find out more at axontire.com. Axon was started almost 100 years ago out of a passion for keeping agriculture moving. It's that same passion that drives them today. With a vision for a better experience for both farmer and dealer, they set out to create a better way to move more iron. When you partner with Axon, you get immediate access to a full range of products and solutions designed to meet the complex needs of today's grower. Axon carries all major brands and sizes of tires, wheels, and tracks. From custom colors and sizes to fully customized wheels, you can have the solution for virtually any problem today's farmer is trying to solve. To find more or become an Axon dealer, please visit axontire.com. Moving iron in the 21st century. Hardworking people working hard for you and me. Time and time again, through the years you'll find us here, Moving Iron. Hello and welcome to Moving Iron Podcast. Marcus with Chip Nellinger. This edition of the Moving Iron Podcast is brought to you by Axon Tire, helping dealers move more iron for the past 100 years. For more information, go to axontire.com. Also, Tractor Zoom delivering insights. If you're trying to track what's happening in the market, in the used equipment marketplace, no better place to do that than Iron Comps by TractorZoom. It's a great place to see trends develop and see what auction values are bringing to you right now. There's about 500 different auctioneers that data to them, so it's a very independent third-party tool that you can use to see what's happening in the auction market. So if you're interested in doing that, and after you take a look at it and you decide you want it, use Moving Iron at checkout and you get yourself a sweet little discount. Chip Nellinger is with Blue Roof Agri Marketing out of Morton, Illinois, and Chip comes on once a week to talk about what's going on in the marketplace. And it's been a wild week here, Chip. Last week we lost everything. We're going to gain it all back this week, it looks like.
Yeah, still very much in a weather market. And last week, you know, a lot of places got rain over the weekend, and certainly the dry areas are much smaller than they were a week or 10 days ago. Some good, pockets of rain in South Dakota, Minnesota, Eastern Iowa, here midweek. So there's some areas getting well watered, but now the problem is this high pressure ridge that has been, you know, producing record highs in the Pacific Northwest is moving east. And it's going to set up over the Canadian prairies, Montana, the Dakotas. It's going to raise temperatures up, probably talking potential record highs in parts of the Dakotas, 105 to 110 degrees. And that it doesn't just stop there, obviously. It's going to push, that heat into, portions of Minnesota, Iowa, out by you guys in Nebraska. Going to really get hot. And so the market is a little bit nervous about that. Obviously, there's some areas that have totally missed the rain, and this is going to, kind of be the final straw. If you didn't get rain or you haven't had rain in 3 or 4 weeks and it's 105 degrees, that's usually about the last straw for some of those crops. But even the crops that got decent rain, 100-plus degree temperatures is not what is ideal. And so there's some risk premium being added back to corn and beans. And the question now is how long that's going to last. If it's 3 or 4 days and then the ridge moves back west, cools things down, that's one thing. But some of these weather models are hinting that it could get a little more stationary and keep the heat longer term. And that's not, late July into August is not the time you need triple digit heat on crops. And so putting some risk premium back in, the volatility's still here. They puked the corn market last week. They're, rallying back up into the gap that we left from last week now that goes up to about 572-ish, 2.25, something like that, on December corn, trading into 560s right now. So we're into the gap that we left. That probably likely is going to be enough for this week. And we'll see what happens today. But, it's just going to be about the fifth or sixth in a row of that Sunday night and early Monday morning trade, kind of checking the weather models to see if the heat's still there and how long. And if it's still there in the extended models Sunday night and Monday, may not have even seen the highs yet. People were writing the corn market off, you know, last weekend with all the rain, and now, you know, we're threatened with this weather. So it's very much a weather market and been very volatile and, you know, wearing people out. But, you know, trend line yields are far from certain at this point on corn or beans, both. And then obviously, you know, the wheat market's been standing on its own. Had a crop report out earlier this week and showed the wheat carry out, you know, low, on the low end of expectations, surprisingly. Got spring wheat issues with Canada, you know, triple digit heat. It's going to be the just in the last bit of life for the spring wheat up there. And Russia's wheat crop looks to be smaller. So, you know, this whole thing, people say here, you know, ah, well, you know, Canada doesn't grow that much corn or beans in the area. It's dry. That's true, but they grow a lot of canola, a lot of spring wheat, a lot of barley. So this oats. So the whole feed grain situation in the world is getting tightened up, and that directly affects corn as well. And, of course, the canola issues, that affects soybean oil. And so there's a lot of things going on right now with these markets from a supply standpoint. And then we know that the world demand's very strong as well. So it could be an explosive summer yet. And a lot of people wrote this thing off a week ago, and I think it's far from being over with.
Yep. So that's the next thing I want, you know, like I'm looking at the weather forecast right now here for us, and it's what I think we have a cold front on Monday and it gets down to 94, but the rest of the day it's, you know, 90, 98, 99 for the next till Friday, and 15 to 20 mile an hour winds, so it won't take long to suck out the moisture out of the ground as we move forward next week. Let's talk about this a little bit here and kind of get your reaction to this. So there's an article, a little news snippet here out of my Pro Farmer morning alert that I get here, and they're talking about Brazil's contract washouts expected to be highest since 2016, and they're talking about how it could possibly be some of the biggest cancellations of exports out of Brazil. So how do you think the market's going to react to that? Have they built that in already? Is that something they're going to pay close attention to when they start seeing these export cancellations and stuff like that pop up? I guess, how do you think that's going to react to the market?
Yeah, so the market seems to have kind of put Brazil's corn crop on the back burner a little bit. It's just that time frame, you right. know, where they've started some early harvest, and in the areas that have been the driest, they've yet to harvest. And I think that's still going to affect the market because, you know, I think the corn and bean market, corn market for sure, has been more focused on weather here in the United States. And you know, that Brazil crop has been just quietly forgotten about. And they've had like three freezes on that too, hard frost. There's, I think, another frost coming this week for some areas. So they've had really weird weather down there. And once that crop gets harvested, I do think it's definitely going to affect our markets. One, from the standpoint of we'll get a better feel in a couple months for what that crop size is. You know, it started out in the, you know, I don't know, I think close to 120 million ton mark, I mean, which they're probably capable of with good weather. And now a lot of those private estimates are down like in the 85, 86 million ton mark. And so to your point, that story, you know, if they can't export, we're going to get the business. There's nowhere else in the world until, you know, March, April, when South America has another crop, you know, during our winter and their summer, mm-hmm. we're the only place to get some, you know, we're the only game in town for beans, for corn. And this demand going forward is going to be, you know, really strong. I think it isn't right now. And that's part of the reason that I think the corn and the bean market have been a little bit lackluster here. Exports haven't been very good. And that's typical this time of year, but it's also about the, you know, the peak downtime, if you want to call it that. And as we go into August, September, October, exports usually start creeping higher. And so if Brazil doesn't have the bushels to export because of their drought and freeze situation, we're going to pick up the extra business, and it's not a small amount. So it's maybe not something that immediately affects us, but it definitely will going forward, because it means more export business for us on corn. And their basis levels in Brazil have started to increase on beans, meaning they're about out of exportable supplies of their crop they just harvested. So that means the business should start shifting to us. And so, you know, we're about to either make or break this crop here with the drought, right? I mean, it's great conditions in the Eastern Corn Belt. Actually, you know, maybe a little too wet for our beans, but, you know, out to you guys in north of the Western Corn Belt, it's far from ideal. And it's so tight that, you know, just a 3 or 4 bushel decrease from trend line in corn, and you're talking about, you know, some, you know, billion bushel carryout, and that's kind of the magic number. And if we're going to get some extra business because of a short Brazil crop, it's really going to be something that affects our market for several more months. And it, like, beans seem like they're just kind of lackluster here. You know, they're in this range that we've been in for a while. We have about 1.8 bushels of cushion in yield on beans nationally, and we're out of beans, literally zero beans, based on the demand of what the USDA has plugged in. So, you know, this heat's a big deal, and there's a lot of bean acres in the Dakotas. And so, you know, you set this high pressure ridge up and keep it into mid-August, I mean, we could literally be out of beans with a 2 bushel decrease from trend line. So it is razor thin, and, you know, any extra demand is just going to exaggerate the tightness that we have. And then with that drought I mentioned earlier, you know, you sometimes the, you know, some of these minor, you know, oats and barley and these minor feed grains, they matter as well, because Canada supplies a lot of those. And you know, they've had a historic drought there that doesn't look like it's going to end anytime soon. And that also tightens up corn. So it's a really dynamic situation we've got going here, and it's going to be here all the way through winter. And, you know, here's the other thing, you know, pretty quickly, they're going to be going to plant in the Southern Hemisphere. And it's not like Brazil has ideal weather right now. You know, they're kind of still in this drought, and it takes, you don't just fix that with one rain. You know, it takes a while to get that straightened out. So that could have implications for their planting season coming up here as well, if they don't start getting some normal rain. So it's a very dynamic situation. And then you overlay this whole inflationary, you know, period that we're in the world because of all the COVID stimulus and low interest rates, and it just exaggerates things. It could really be an interesting rest of the summer and all the way through winter here, based on all these world problems and Brazil's crop situation, and going to get very interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. Another thing that's getting very interesting is I've seen more articles here lately about African swine fever than I probably have had in the last year. Probably looks like another article out of the same snippet that I got here. Germany confirms its first case of African swine fever in farm pigs. 2 weeks ago, I think, you know, there's a rumor of that we had African swine fever in the United States. Obviously, that wasn't true, but it seems like the Chinese are starting to report a little more about that they've got African swine fever back, and that I don't know they really ever had it under control. But I guess with that news, you still see, you know, you kind of see hog prices gets a little pressure here of late. But I guess, so what's your thoughts there? Is that something that is something that needs to be paid attention to, or is it just some of these isolated cases out there?
Well, I think both. I mean, I think luckily so far it's been isolated, but that rumor there a few weeks back just shows you know, you had hogs went from a couple bucks higher to limit down in seconds, mm-hmm. you know, with that rumor. And so it is definitely something to be worried about. It'd be catastrophic if we had that here. Just, you know, absolutely catastrophic to our domestic hog markets and pork products. And so, you know, hopefully we keep that at bay, but it does seem like it's just something that's out there and it's has popped up in different areas sporadically. And, you know, a lot of vets will tell you, you know, behind closed doors that it's probably not if, it's when we get it here and how bad. And so, you know, that's kind of like the monster in the corner type thing, or the monster under the bed. I mean, it's definitely something that would be catastrophic, that a lot of people worry about. And luckily it hasn't hit here yet, but that is something that, you know, I think is in the back of everyone's mind, and wouldn't be a good situation. And, you know, I just, people a lot smarter than me on it, but, you know, a lot of vets will tell you that it is probably coming here. It's just, you know, is it next year or 10 years?
Right.
And I think China, you know, they're still fighting it. It looks like they have rebuilt their hog herd quite a bit just based on some of the numbers they put out. And, you know, you can't always believe that, but you can kind of believe it in what they do, right? It's not like, what's that saying? Look at what I do, not what I say. Yeah. Well, they backed way down on their pork purchases from us. So it probably does mean for the time being that they've rebuilt that hog herd pretty dramatically. They say they have, but it's not what they say, it's what they're doing. They've slowed way down on their pork purchases. So it's likely true for now, but that doesn't mean they won't continue to fight that there either.
Yep. Right on. Yeah, that's a scary thing, man. You take a look at that. There's a that would wreak havoc.
Really,
I mean, it would really, really wreak havoc on what's kind of, you know, the good thing they've got going there in the hog market for sure. All right, man. Well, it looks like we got another fun week ahead of us, man. And there's plenty of reasons to pay attention to what's going on, and especially right now when you start looking at, you know, some of these ethanol plants and feed yards and those kind of things, and as much positive basis they're paying to get some corn contracts and those kind of things hemmed up. This is a great time to not only, you know, shore up your plan, but, you know, reevaluate your plan. And especially right now with wheat harvest kind of wrapping up in the South and kind of move through. We're just starting kind of up here in Nebraska, so they'll be moving into North and South Dakota here before too long. So wheat harvest is rapidly coming to an end. So another good time to sit back and take a look at what you've got and how things are rolling. So Chip, if folks are working on that plan or need help with that plan, what's the best way to get a hold of you and the guys over there at Blue Reef Agri Marketing?
Yeah, probably best way is just give us a call at the office, and that number is 309-550-7213. And I'd love to chat with you. This volatility is an opportunity too. You know,
yeah.
We've seen corn, you know, move 50, 60 cents in a swing 2 or 3 days. Beans have had some 90 cent and dollar moves. And, you know, it's easy to be handcuffed by that and not know what to do. But if you have a plan, you can maneuver and put yourself in a better position using that volatility. So it's very important to have a plan and execute on it. So never been more important in the markets.
Yep. That's a very true statement, man. So I am Casey Seymour here, and you can find me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. If you are looking to come to the Moving Iron Summit, go to movingironllc.com. It's a great place to go network and see some great speakers and get some good information about what's going on in the coming months here as we head into the winter months of 22. Also, check out my website, movingironllc.com. That's where you can find all the latest editions of the Moving Iron podcast, as well as any blogs I have posted there. You can find all the Moving Iron Summit information there as far as registration for the meeting, hotel information, agendas, speakers, all those good things. So if you're interested in doing that, send me an email at movingironpodcast@movingironpodcast.com, and I can get you more information about that. So with that, I'm Casey Seymour, Chip Nellinger. Let's move some iron, folks. Out. You want to have a meaningful competitive advantage to help sell more equipment. Whether you represent the sales, parts, or management department of an implement dealership, there's a surprising amount of complexity when it comes to tire, wheel, and track technology. Let Axon worry about that so you can get back to supporting your customers. Axon has leveraged years of experience to create a streamlined process that gives you a proven path to help today's grower and sell more equipment. The roots of their organization go back almost 100 years to the invention of the rubber tractor tire. Supporting agriculture is the number one driver of Axon from product development through sales and service. To find more or become an Axon dealer, head over to axontire.com. Moving iron in the 21st century. Hardworking people working hard for you and me. Moving higher, time and time again. Through the years you'll find us here. Moving